With an aging population that wants to not only live longer, but live healthier and better, health has become a key growth industry. The Great Lakes region, and Cleveland in particular, are fortunate to have some of the best facilities and physicians in the world right here in our own backyard. Each year, Cleveland Clinic hosts a Medical Innovation Summit, and the 2000 Summit was special. Not just because talk show host Larry King and a slew of other media bigwigs participated, but because the focus was on cardiovascular technology, the state of the heart. Cleveland Clinic just received its 13th consecutive number one ranking from U.S. News & World Report for heart care. In this interview, we'll hear from the director of Cleveland Clinic Innovations, Chris Coburn. Chris will talk about some of the highlights of the summit, the amazing medical breakthroughs that are being developed, and the new $250 million global cardiovascular innovation center, and to let us in on next year's summit's focus. Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show. All right, we're speaking with Chris Coburn, the director of the Cleveland Clinic Foundation Innovations. Chris, you just finished your fifth annual Medical Innovation Summit, and this year's focus was one that's really special to the Cleveland Clinic. Tell us about that.
Thanks, Dan. It was in cardiovascular technologies, which I'm sure your listeners know. The Cleveland Clinic is rated number one for the last 13 years by U.S. News & World Report.
Even the timing of the summit was special. In the introduction by CEO Toby Cosgrove, he said it was almost 50 years to the day that the first angiogram was performed.
Yeah, this is a tremendously interesting time. We have this history that started in the mid-50s, a whole set of things. First, efforts in an implantable device for improving circulation in the heart. Also, the new Cleveland Clinic Heart Center is nearing completion, which is a 1.1 million square feet facility that will be state-of-the-art in every possible way. Additionally, we just launched a giant center, a $250 million new effort to promote new technology and its application in companies to help patients. Cardiovascular.
Yeah, there were some well-known media people at the summit this year, starting with Larry King. Why Larry King?
Well, actually, Larry King is a cardiac trauma survivor. He had a heart attack and a bypass, and he has a foundation to promote outreach for screening for people to help them avoid some of the circumstances he endured. So Larry's become a very visible spokesman on cardiovascular health. Additionally, we had senior people from ABC News, New York Times, NPR, and USA Today.
And not to forget former President Bill Clinton's press secretary, Mike McCurry.
Yeah, who was a real delight to spend some time with. And we had a little glitch in the program scheduling with one of the speakers. And Mike, true to form for a guy who's been in the battle line, stepped up and was able to extemporaneously provide 15 minutes for the audience. So we were really grateful, and he's just a delight to work with.
You know, I thought that the panel that Larry King hosted was really world-class. If you could tell us briefly about the five people who were on that panel, and it was a state of cardiovascular medicine panel, and I guess the first to start with is Dr. Steven Nissen.
Yeah, Steve Nissen is rated by Time Magazine as one of the 100 most influential people in the world. He is an incredibly gifted cardiologist who has, I think, distinguished himself by doing work, large clinical trials and evaluation of data sets where he has uncovered previously unrecognized threats to patient health, and has become, a very recognized leader in that area and a guy that can help people understand what they would not otherwise about these patterns relative to new technology and new drugs. Additionally, on the panel was Bruce Lytle, who is the chairman of cardiac surgery at the Cleveland Clinic and himself one of the best-known cardiac surgeons in North America. And he is known as a surgeon's surgeon. He's the guy that gets the cases that have been turned down by multiple other institutions or where there is a need to reoperate. So Bruce is an incredibly gifted Stanford undergrad, Harvard Medical School pitcher on the Stanford baseball team. Additionally, on the panel was Betsy Nabel, who's the head of the part of the National Institutes of Health that deals with cardiac care, and she, which is known as the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And Dr. Nabel was a very key participant in the panel. And then finally, we had CEOs of two highly regarded companies, one Edwards Life Sciences and the other AstraZeneca. So it was a great, great panel.
Yeah, it was even something as a layman, I was able to grasp some of the ideas, and Larry King asked the questions that a layman would want to hear. You know, one of the things that I was particularly impressed with, and it seemed like the panel was stressing, is the continued progress towards smaller or even no incisions in procedures. That's got to make a tremendous difference.
Well, yeah, that, you know, I think one of the big issues for any patient is that the surgical intervention comes with additional requirements, which relate to the you're getting inside the chest and spreading the rib cage. And there's really, you know, quite a number of ancillary issues that go with that. So these minimally invasive approaches truly represent the new technology, and patients will greatly benefit from them.
You know, all five of the panelists were talking about the responsibility of the patient, and we hear all the terrible statistics about childhood obesity and diabetes epidemic, and maybe even there's been a reversal of the trend of where one of the doctors says we're winning the war against heart disease for the last 25 or 30 years, but now we're starting to reverse that.
Yeah, and, well, I think the great thing about some of the new technologies that are coming out, you know, they are responding to that challenge, but the greatest determinant in the health of Americans are decisions that are made by the patient themselves. You know, whether it's diet or smoking, all the clinicians will say that those are the two biggest influences on long-term cardiovascular health. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, the new technologies are exciting, particularly in the diagnostic side. Well, we've developed some here at the Cleveland Clinic even that are incredibly predictive of future coronary events. But, again, the best thing above all for health is to avoid too much caloric consumption and certainly avoid smoking at all costs.
You know, once again, as a layman, I didn't understand a lot that was going on in the exhibition hall, but there are two devices that really seemed impressive, especially impressive. One was the robotic device. It looked almost like a video game where someone was looking at a small screen and working joysticks, but they were actually, then a robotic arm was actually doing surgery.
Yeah, and that robot is truly state-of-the-art. It's known as it's made by a company called Intuitive, and the robot itself is called the Da Vinci. It is geared in a way that it allows the user to manipulate their fingers, if you will, that are at the tip of the robot to a much greater degree with greater strength, but also far greater precision than you can your own hands. So it reduces the tremor, or actually it removes the tremor that's present in any human. And then second of all, it's geared in a way that it moves half as much as the operator will move their hands. So you can get, you know, much greater control. And, of course, in a cardiovascular setting, this means that you can get further into the chest, get in areas in a much tighter space where historically it would have required, again, spreading the rib cage, opening up the operating site, and the surgeons like to say that so much of surgery going back more than 100 years has been establishing a line of sight so the surgeon could see where they were. Now that's no longer an issue. If you can get these hands, these tools inside the chest with video camera, you know, all this, you know, the size of a pencil head, basically, you can repair a heart valve, as you saw at the summit.
Yeah, that was some. I wish we had some of that enhanced control for some of our Cleveland Indians pitchers, but I guess that's another story.
Yeah, well, and I think the question about who's discerning balls and strikes, too.
Well, one of the other understandable technologies that I saw was, you know, with an electrocardiogram, you usually get the 12 leads, and there was a vest device that actually had like an array or a matrix with 80 or so leads. That just seems naturally that would give more thorough and detailed results.
Yeah, exactly. Again, one of our goals is to demonstrate the state of the art in the field, and hopefully we accomplish that.
Right. Now, as always, you list the top 10 medical innovations for the year. And when I was reading them over and seeing them, most of them I didn't understand. Are there one or two that really jump out that our average business listener would understand and appreciate?
The first one, of course, was interluminal robotics, so what you and I were just talking about. Additionally, we have things with, you know, the ability to diagnose disease. Again, another thing we were just talking about, the minimally invasive repair of heart valves. So, you know, quite a number of those technologies are, you know, in my view of the world, kind of very practical. I think one of the more gee whiz ones that your listeners might find very intriguing is a technology that allows an impaired person, with simply using their thoughts and nothing else, to manipulate a device. So you talk about the future, this is it. So again, it's being initial application will be for quadriplegics who have limited or no use of their limbs, that this implant that goes into the brain is activated by the patient's own thoughts, and with practice, the patient can move a cursor on a keyboard, the patient can move a wheelchair, or any other device, you know, ultimately. So it is just truly remarkable, and I hate to say, but it kind of always reminds me of the first episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, it really sounds like science fiction, or that one Clint Eastwood movie where he's controlling the plane. But, you know, it seems like it's really a golden age for medical innovation. If you can just hang in there and the patients, you know, kind of take care of some of your own things that you can, some of these innovations that are coming out are really going to change the length and quality of life. I recall one of the panelists saying that he predicted a cure for diabetes in a couple of years. So, you know, these innovations are crucial to us all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the point here is, one, that the platform has been established for accelerating innovation and discovery, and you're seeing some of that. And second of all, that there's a system worldwide that allows the rapid application of those. It is, as you say, a golden age. And you think ahead to the next 20 years, the innovations that are occurring today will be the foundation for once in the future. So to the degree that we still support innovators, we'll allow breakthroughs that are virtually unimaginable today.
And one, you know, you're continuing in that trend with the special announcement. Governor Ted Strickland came in and announced a Global Cardiovascular Innovation Center, the GCIC. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a $250 million new effort to develop cardiovascular technology and apply it in new products, and really, you know, to benefit patients here and around the world. And we are immensely grateful to the state of Ohio for a $60 million grant that has seeded the center. And that will allow us, for example, to build a multifaceted building that will house a whole set of companies, maybe up to 30 companies, as well as the operations of the center and our own shop. And then it's going to allow us to recruit companies to Cleveland. I was just speaking yesterday, as a matter of fact, with a leader in Ireland about some Irish companies, Irish medical products companies that might want to come here.
You're probably already maybe taking a little downtime, but working on next year's summit. What's the topic for next year?
Yeah, I wish it was downtime. It's a 14-month planning cycle, so we are well underway. Topic next year will be urology and gynecology, and really the minimally invasive treatment of those. And there's been a lot of innovation recently. We'll be talking about that innovation. And we also have some surprise internationally known speakers that we've already secured. So we're excited about it, and you'll hear more soon.
Geez, I hope we don't have Larry King back for that topic.
Well, you know, since we're all aging males now eligible for our AARP cards, you know, urology certainly is a topic that should be close to our minds. And for any female listeners, obviously, there's been a lot of important discoveries in gynecology.
Well, for our local listeners, you're going to be hearing a lot more about the GCIC. I'm sure it's right there in Fairfax, another jewel in the crown that the Cleveland Clinic campus is becoming. And for the rest of you around the world, these innovations we're seeing happening at Cleveland Clinic and displayed at this year's Medical Summit are going to affect all of us. So we congratulate you, Chris, on a good job, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks, Dan. You're very nice. And again, we're excited. You know, our vision is the Cleveland Clinic campus will be ringed by companies that will benefit from the exchange with our innovators and our clinicians. And really, it is the classic environment for innovation and pushing it to the highest possible level. So, you know, we think we've got something special here.
All right. Today we've been speaking with Chris Coburn, the director of Cleveland Clinic Foundation Innovations, and we'll talk to you soon, Chris.
Okay. Thanks so much, Dan.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.